Sì, resta del Timovo. way to program it weird or something? You know, does it have strange operational, you know, that stuff that you just can't know unless somebody's actually played with one. You probably can find one of their existing radios and you can probably get an idea of how they do things. You know, Motorola remains rather consistent with their stuff, and I imagine that you know, Tate would be the same way. Anyhow, I just pulled up here. I got to get inside, return something, and then I'll be back.
Okay, I'll be driving for another 10-15 minutes. The hyper maybe W8.
Alrighty then.
10-4. Driving down 94, just north of 23 miles.
Where do you gotta go?
To take Gracie to the hypertensive clinic.
Oh yeah, I heard you say that. Wasn't sure I gathered what it was. So, just for a checkup, or what do you got to do?
Yeah, they put her on those blood pressure pills, and she's going in to get a checkup. So, she hasn't figured it out yet. She's still pretty mellow, but I'm sure once I turn down 21, she'll start shaking, because she usually then recognizes that road and then figures out what it is.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Marion, but then I said, no, that can't be.
That's the last thing that girl's got is hypertension. She worries about nothing, so that's not going to happen there. Now, she's going to visit her mom today. Her mom's in the hospital, so she has to go meet with her mom, the family, and the doctor at 9. So that's on her agenda. My agenda is the dog. And then tomorrow is our meeting, and I raise my hand to cook breakfast. So I'm going to go drop the doggy off, and then I got to run to Gordon's. I always buy those great big huge Bob Evans casserole thingies or whatever they're called, breakfast pan things, and throw them in the oven and tell the oven to kick on at 5 a.m., and then they're all ready for the 7:30 a.m. meeting. So that's my agenda for at least this morning. Probably should work sometime between now and then and make some money, but nah.
Well, I'm monkeying around with a gas hookup. That's my thing. Not much else. Not much else really cooking here today.
Good morning, fellas. Easy video.
I was thinking it could be something to do with T-Mobile. T-Mobile's got that carrier-grade NAT, which is really weird, and it does not allow you to register if you connect up directly to their router. You got to put another router between you and it. So it could be something there. I'm going to try mine just to be sure it's working on my end, and then figure it out for their road. Real quick, Lowe's or Home Depot?
Both are good. Whatever's closest, both of them are. I rank either one equal. You know, those Craftsmen for all of this. Can you hear me here? Hey, Tom. Wally, can you hear me here?
I have turn range when I can hear, and I know I'm at the outer ropes of... I didn't hear anything on Phil, and I didn't hear anything on DJ.
It's back up.
W8RCY, is the transmission working on the Warn repeater RF? Because it's not keying up for me, it sounds like. This is W8RCY. Does anybody copy this radio?
I hear you. K8RCY.
This is KF8DBZ. I read you 5x9 over here off of the Mount Clemens repeater.
There was a double there. Greg, I pulled out, and then this other gentleman. I thank you both. Just wondering if this thing's working, because I've been having some difficulty this morning. Thank you very much.
W8RCY. KF8DBZ. You're welcome. Have a good day. 7371.
That's because the guy that programmed your radio put an algorithm in it to shut your PL off between 8:30 and 9 a.m. on Wednesday.
No wonder you and Tom have been ignoring me all morning. Been chasing you two all around, and it explains everything. I'm not surprised. W-A-R-C-Y.
We were on DMR. You've got that capability. You're the one that told me about it.
I chased you over to Statewide 1, and I wanted to talk to you guys about the Tate radio. And I was just on ignore, so again, I'm used to it.
Actually, we didn't hear you, but we're kind of guilty of talking too much and not letting people get in, so... What do you know about the Tate radio, other than I saw that last night, and I thought, wow, look at this puppy.
Pretty much what you know, the price and all that, but Sean mentioned it to me back in the spring when we were looking at radios, because I was looking at an ATX as well, thinking about making the big hit on an ATX 8000 XD. $4,300, buy one radio and be set for life. You know, plan obsolescence, it's called. And you know, if you go that much, might as well go with a Tate. And so he mentioned the Tate to me, and I looked it up, and I'm going, whoa! But, yeah, you got one radio that does everything, handles everything, P25. You know, what else do you need? I can get rid of all my modals.
Yeah, but that one has DMR as well. So if you stop to think about it, and again, I don't know nothing about nothing from nothing. So if anybody's listening, I'm not promoting squat. You know, I'm just going strictly by internet reading and the specs. But you know, DMR is still got a massive presence in this state. You know, all for weather and emergencies and central emergency network and all that stuff. And I think this is a lady. Come get my dog. Maybe not. But if I drop out, that's what happened. But, you know, so if anybody's listening, I'm not promoting anything. I just thought, when I saw those specs, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, VHF, UHF 7800, which is worthless to us, and there's a lady for the dogs. I got to go. WABD.
Yeah, but like I mentioned, if you can still hear me, before I sign off, it's a one-stop radio for everything. It's just like the new... I think it's a Yaesu that just came out with a radio that's one stop for everything that you want in amateur radio. So, you know, I don't know. But we'll talk later. Call me when you get a chance. You call me on the phone or something. I'm pretty much got nothing to do between now and 10 o'clock on Monday. So I'm free for just about anything to talk about. WARCY, we're clear for now.
WABD.
W8FU. That'll buy you a coffee. WD8KLL.
That may be $3.
Oh, that's right. You frequency, Sergeant.
Yeah, I almost went just now, but the line was really long, so I said, nope.
There's one over closer to my house that I'm sure won't be as bad. But probably going to pass altogether. Just not feeling it this morning.
Yeah, we're Tim Hortons fans, and we buy it at Sam's or Costco, and brew it up every morning. We like it.
We made the switch to Keurig a while back after finding a coffee we really like. I was underwhelmed with the whole Keurig experience until I found this Green Mountain Dark Magic, which we really like. And ever since discovering that, we've pretty much gone for the convenience of the Keurig. Although the machines are not that reliable. I've gone through them like poop through a goose.
Yeah, same here, Sean. We've went through two of them, and I decided, you know what, I'm just going back to the old Mr. Coffee with a timer on it. That works for us. But I do know the Green Mountain. We do love, we did like those. But, man, are those expensive, the Keurig.
Yeah, I believe if you sat down and you crunched the numbers, it's more expensive than a automatic drip coffee maker. But, you know, we like our coffee really strong, so we were really loading up the basket when we were making a pot. So our pots were a little bit more than, you know, they weren't frugal pots. And, you know, and then the worst part was the waste, because, you know, we might, you know, she's drinking it, like, in the morning, during the day. I'm drinking it at night. And, you know, it's like we're never really putting together a full pot, you know, where we're gonna drink it up while it's fresh. So just being able to crack out a pot fresh when you need it, it's really good.
Roger, Roger. Are you working today?
No, finishing up my generator project today. So I'm just getting home from Home Depot and Harbor Freight. There's a couple of things I need, and going to get working on that. But I did just pull in the drive.
Oh, okay. I won't keep you then. Just curious, what kind of generator did you get? I ended up buying a generator recently and went with a Westinghouse tri-fuel. Runs on propane, natural gas, or gasoline. $14.50, I think, on gasoline.
Yeah, I looked at that one. A little larger than I need. I needed something between 5 and 10. And I got a 9,000 Champion tri-fuel. I think it's 9,000 Surge. I think it runs about like 7-something gas, 6. I guess propane's down around 6-something. So anyhow, it's a Champion, it's tri-fuel, and it's an inverter. So that's the one I went with. It's just about, it fits what I need just about perfect.
Oh, very good. All right, Sean, I won't keep you there. I know you're probably wanting to get in, so, yeah, I was just curious. When Jack was up here, I showed him my outfit. I actually got a little shed and got it all wired into the house and transfer box and the whole shoot and match. So way cheaper than going with the whole house automatic jobbies, so. We'll chat at you later, W8FU from WD8KLO.
Well, to that point, I will say I will not have a whole house. Everybody I know that's got one is always dinking with it. It doesn't work when they want it to. They're just, you know. And, you know, of course, now the guy that's got one is going to chime in and say, I don't know, I've had mine for 3 years and it's been fine, or 10 years or whatever, you know, great. But my experience has been every time I see somebody having problems with a generator, it's one of them whole house home ones that, and I said, yeah, you know, they're way too expensive that when you do have a problem, you got to get a pro to come out. There's no shade tree mechanic fixing them. I've shade tree mechanic fixed my portables. I mean, I suppose you could, but just in my experience, I just wasn't going to go that route. And like you said, it's cheaper and it's more useful. I can use it. And if for some reason it does go belly up, I can just run down the store, get another one, drop it right in. You know, it's like I don't have to, you know, it's not like I'm dead in the water. I've got generators. I got about 14 of them that I got to maintain on a regular basis. And they are the bane of my existence. I hate them. Just constantly something. Always not running. For some reason, I didn't start. You know, it won't stay running, this, that, or the other. I mean, these are big 75K, you know, ones. But I'm done with fixed generators for my house. Well, I never had one, so I'm not done with it. But no, I think you made the right choice. And anybody who's got one of them whole house ones that's hooked up, it feels great. But good luck. Hopefully, when you actually need it, it's there. All right, unless you got anything else, I'm going to jump out of here. W8FU.
Nope. Good talking with you, Sean. 73s. We'll chat again later. WDKLL clear.
WABD. Get it right. My God, you're still there.
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. So, what do you know about those bad boys other than they might be expensive?
Well, basically, it's an all-in-one radio. Comes out of Australia. And I never heard of them until Sean mentioned them to me. But, yeah, I'm not going to invest that kind of money. I mean, if I'm willing to invest $4,300 into an APX 8000 XE for an all-featured radio, you know, that covers all five bands, yeah, that's one thing. But to spend another, you know, couple thousand for a Tate, no. And the APX that I was looking at is so well rebuilt and refurnished. I mean, refurbished, it's like brand spanking new, and that's all this guy sells on eBay. I can provide you with the link. I mean, I've got on my wish list right now a $1,900 ABX 6000 P25 FPP, all the bells and whistles, but it's only UHF band. And it's a UHF, I think it's just the low band. I don't think it's both bands. But, yeah, for like less than half the price of what I was looking at for a top-of-the-line model. And I'm still looking at it. I'm still not even sure if I'll ever go P25. But if I invest in something like an XTS 5000, I've got my eye on one for $450. And it's completely refurbished, updated antenna. You know, I don't have to go chase parts. I don't have to go buy the radio for $200 and then go chase parts like an antenna, a battery, port cover, things like that. And I know Sean's got a bazillion chargers, but I'm just going to be one-stop shopping or nothing.
Okay, I get it. Well, I'm guessing, you know, at the price point of the ABX, this thing can be had for a lot less than that. I'm going to say probably half. You know, and it's new. But, again, you know, there's always the surprise, like the Kenwood, you know. The software for the Kenwood is one radio and one computer, and you can't do anything else. I mean, there's always the surprise. And Sean pointed that out too. You got to be very cautious when you're the first person investing into all of this stuff. Because if you look at all of the things that happens with all these radios, you know, you get all these cool features, but, you know, like, oh, you can't do UHF and CHF at the same time, or, oh, you can't do, you know, there's always the surprise, okay, it's not what they're saying, it's what they're leaving out. So that's the kind of stuff, you know. Greg, I think, was playing around with the Midland radios, and was the same thing, you know. It was like, by the time it was all said and done, and he mastered it, don't get me wrong, and it sounds really, really nice. They're the fire service radios, and he mastered it, but by the time it was all said and done, he basically had XCS money in it.
Exactly, and I don't want to venture too far off of Motorola. I mean, my history with Motorola goes back to 92, and a lot of it had to do with auto racing and the commercial aspect of, you know, that, because, I mean, I originally just was, you know, get my radios when I get to the track, and the only reason why I invested in my own is because sometimes these radios that are packed away in Pelican cases, race to race, you grab a radio, you grab a cable, you grab a headset, and there's always problems. And I just got tired of it, and that's why I started investing in my own Motorola from HQ750s onward up to where the XPRs are now. But, I pretty much understand Motorola. Even some of this DMR stuff is still kind of new to me. I'm remaking DMR for dummies, and that's not helping. But it is what it is, but I just try to stay proprietary one thing and stick with it. So, I mean, Sean was talking about coffee this morning with somebody, and, you know, how he's bouncing around between brands and machines and everything else, and it's the same thing with radios. You know, you can buy different radios by different, you know, manufacturers, but, you know, it boils right down to what you want and what you want the radio to do. And if you want it, you can afford it, go get it.
Yeah, well, I can. That's not the problem. It's just that, you know, I don't want to end up getting something that, oh, look, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? So I don't mind. I always get mad at myself when I don't buy what I really wanted. That's when I get mad. But then I get really, really mad when I find out, like, okay, you got this pretty shiny new, you know, Apex radio, like a Motorola, for example, and you can't program it. You have to take it to a dealer to get a program type thing, you know what I'm saying, and that kind of stuff, you know, because, so, like, all of a sudden, Phil, maybe a PR changes his PL tone, and I can't do that, you know what I'm saying, things like that. So that's the kind of stuff that, you know, you try to avoid, or somebody pops up a new repeater, or a new receive site, or whatever, you know. And I kind of miss DMR. I mean, don't get me wrong, that's the you know, like, Tom drives all over the state. You know, you can't really talk to him all over the state unless you're on DMR, for the most part. I know there's a lot of analog stuff interconnected, but, you know, he's always seems to be there. And so, you know, just different things. It's all got pros, it's all got cons, and we all got radioitis.
My ears were burning. Your ears are always burning. But, but like I said, I mean, it's not that I'm a Motorola geek or Motorola this or Motorola that. It's just, this is the only radio I've pretty much worked with since 1992 on a commercial scale. And when I bought these XPRs for racing purposes, I bought the one, and I found out that this guy's got a whole fleet of them because he found out in the sheriff's department that he works in, APRs and APXs don't talk to each other because they're two different systems. So that's why they dumped all the XPRs, and that's why I got them for the price I got them. But the fact of the matter is this. It's just I've been around Motorola my entire life except for a couple of old standards and an RCA there for a while. But it's what I know and it's what I understand. Yes, I'm still trying to understand the programming of it because I used to program the analogs and working with racing radios to help them out. But
I mean, I'm still learning and scratching my head on some things and future investments and radios and things like that. And so far my XPRs are working, but just fine. But it's just, you know, you got people like Jack and, you know, and some of these guys that got, you know, 13, 14 radios sitting in front of them, and they're not all the same brand. Sure, they're Bofangs, but they've got those little subtle nuances that are enough to drive you up a wall. And I can't deal with that. That's why I like to stick with one brand, one radio, certain brand of frequencies, and that's it.
Go ahead, Tom. What's
going on, Dave?
Well, he has nothing else to talk about, so we decided to talk about you.
No, I was over on 600, and then Don said your ears are always burning, and that was the last thing I heard. And then 600 dropped off, and I moved over here to 175, and there you are. Something screwy is going on.
Are you sure it's not on your end?
I'm on my node.
I'm on my car in Richmond in New Baltimore.
I am in my vehicle in Farmington Hills, 10 miles in Hagerty. Is everything linked by beacons I take it, or is it through All Star with FBI and CNN?
I'm on All-Star through the FBI network. That's what I'm running here.
And the official answer to that question is ask Sean. But I think it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those quirks that are happening today.
KU4ZYQ.
KU4ZYQ. Go ahead. Good morning, Joe. KC, KJO. And Molly and Don are on today.
Not sure. Yeah, good morning. I'm not sure what trouble you're having, but I'm hearing you both pretty good on the UHF 625, so I'm not sure what's happening with any issues you may be dealing with, both of you. Back to you.
I think it was just a minor link loss, I guess. KC, get you.
Not technically in my system, but on this node that I'm using, but it's showing in there, but it's, you know, I don't have it directly into the system. I think I got the old one or something. I don't know. But whatever I got, it is what it is. But all I know is All Star is working. The node that I'm talking to on is working, and everything else is working. Just fine, 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 fine. W8RCY.
I'll leave you with one idea. Make sure your radio has the right PLs, or however you got any PLs or anything, because one of them changed it inadvertently one day, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't get in to a repeater. And I checked the PL, and I don't know how it changed, but it did. I put it back to normal. It was fine. You guys take care. Sorry to interrupt. Just thought I'd throw it out saying I heard you both. KE4ZYQ clear.
I'm in New Baltimore, Tom, on the Richmond repeater. It's working fine for me.
Yeah, I was on the 600. We were talking and all, and it just dropped out, but then when I switched over to 175, then I heard everybody. And I said, could have just been a glitch. Temporary. It happens. It's electronics. What do you expect?
Perfection. We expect perfection.
Well, I'm showing here on my chart, and this is a self-made chart, so I probably screwed that up. But I'm showing two UMPs, one on 442
and one on 443, and the one in my radio is only programmed to the 443 frequency and not the 442. So that's where I'm confused, but again, I'm old and I get confused easily.
So you think, Don, that you're at that age where your only thought is an afterthought? Go ahead, Wally.
What's the rest of the frequency, Don?
443.625, 442.175, different PLs.
Yeah, the 175 is KCAA LTS in Detroit. That I believe just got fixed.
And the 443.625 is the one in Mount Clemens, correct?
Yeah, the one in Mount Clemens is 443.625. That's UMP, and then TLS is 442.175, and that's the one that I'm chatting on.
I think TJ just wanted to fix that one. Of course, I don't pay much attention to the kind of detail, but I think that's what just happened.
Is 442.175 DMR, or is it still analog?
Analog, M1. It's on the M1 system, I believe.
Okay, well, seeing that I've got nothing to do between now and 10 o'clock on Monday, I will look into that.
Five.
I doubled on you, Wally. What was that?
And it was Tom.
Go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
Five is the Detroit repeater, and that's the one that I'm playing around on right now.
That would be KC8LTS in Detroit, and it's an analog, not a DMR.
Correct. It's an analog, KC8KKO.
PL, please.
Same as FBI, 123.
Copy that. Thank you. I'll make some changes. I can make changes on my Wuxon quicker than I can do with my Moto. So I'll work on that. And the next update for the Moto, which will be in the fall, I'll get that done. So I'm not going to worry about it now. At least I'll have one radio that works through all of this. Thank you, gentlemen.
That's what we're all here for. That's how I learned so much over the past 6-8 months, is because of all of you on FBI.
Well, I used to be able to do a lot of this stuff by myself, and I can program just about any other radio, but when I started getting into the digital world and these Motorola XPRs, both the HGs and the mobile units that I have, I was in for a rude awakening, and I'm still trying to figure it out and understand it, but I'm getting a grip on it. But it's just a matter of sometimes I get lost or confused on when some of these things change, or I'm not up to date when this new one came back online, and it's on the MI1 or MI, one of the MIs for the CMN thing. So I'm learning. As a matter of fact, don't tell nobody, but as of yesterday, I started studying for my general, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, I gotta get some time to start doing that again. KKKJO, I'm about to arrive at my destination.
Well, I'm not really studying to take the test. I will take the test, but I'm just saying I want to get it for the prestige and the knowledge more than the usage, because living in an apartment building, I can't, you know, I got a bunch of HOA stuff, and the inspectors were out yesterday, and they kind of looked at my antenna on the window. I says, hey, it's just stuck to the window on the inside. There's nothing outside. There's no 20-foot tower hanging off my balcony or anything like that. So I was well in with an appliance, but they just kind of questioned it. But, yeah, so I'm good. But
Again, I'm just taking it for the knowledge and the prestige, and I doubt if I'll go any further than where I'm going right now with DMR and maybe B-25.
Yeah, I got my DMR. I got a XPR 4550 that Wally set up for me, a DMR, UHF analog on it, and DMRS. Just did my VHF rig. I'm going to put that for my gold box. I got to get another antenna. And then I got my TYT MDUV 380 that I use at home for DMR through my open spot.
So we share some parallels there, if studying for the general is going to help my knowledge better, I know a lot of it has to do with the bands and things like that, but if it's going to help me with other things, I remember Professor Don telling me that if you ever go for your extra, that'll be to learn antennas and things like that, which I'm restricted on here. But like I said, if I can get more knowledge and things that are going to help me, I will more than be happy to study the general and take it sometime between now and the end of the year. So that's on the bucket list. All right, I'll let you get to work. While you're still out there, you have a good day. With the weekend coming up, all the best. We'll be sitting here monitoring throughout the weekend. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not even going up north this weekend. I'll be home. WARCY.
Yeah, it worked out good. I'm almost home. I gotta drop the dog off. So, talk later. Phone ringing. Work, work, work. WABD.
WABD, WARCY, 73 to you both, and you know me. I'll be in and out throughout the day.
KDHZSK mobile monitoring 2.175.
Sounds a little different. Were you on channel 1, 2?
Yeah, were you hearing me?
I heard something. I was in the other room on the phone, but I thought I heard your voice on 25.
Yeah, that's what I want to check out. Can you switch over there?
Yeah. WABD. You sound good on your machine, Phil. TCTGO. TCTGO.
CSI Mobile.
WAZD.
WARJD, monitoring mobile.
This is W8BIJ calling on a W8CMN repeater. W8BIJ calling, and bye for any calls.
W8VD, ABP.
W4XED, this is W3LNS.
ABLN.
No, I do
mechanic wants to hear.
You teach mechanics how to be engineers, you teach engineers how to be mechanics.
We're the people that make mechanics mad. Yeah, gotta disassemble the whole front end and change light bulb.
Oh, they're the ones that put the engines in upside down on the back of the vehicle underneath the spare tire. Okay, I get you.
Jeep engineers are the worst. Yep. But yeah, I do. I work in body engineering. I tell them where to put all these spot welds in the vehicle. So fly through the CAD and put X's all over the car.
What does the X's mean? Is this the way you put the stuff that you can't get to it, or the X's mean is don't put it there?
Well, the X's mean tell the robot to put the weld gun there.
Engineers made die sitters pull their hair out.
Is that why they're always bald?
Die masters and die sitters look at this in the paper or the engineering, the print. So he wants to make that out of that. That's not possible. W8RCY. Carry on.
Jumper that goes across the bottom, makes it look nice and pretty, but now
you got to try to figure out how to put composite in this can and make it look nice so you can pull the cards out to work on them and replace them. And the way they did it, it's like, who came up with this design and what were they smoking when they did it?
If we can make it even cheaper.
Well, I'm sure if installers took their time and did quality instead of quantity, it'd look a lot better, I guess. There's probably ways to do it. I've never seen it. Maybe I've seen it maybe once. But we do have some enclosures out there that have wire trees and everything else, and when it's all done, it looks pristine. Some of these other ones are just ridiculously ugly. You know, but when you got 2 to 3 jobs you got to do in a day or whatever, I can understand the rush work.
Yeah, I guess that can depend on the guy swinging the wires, too. If it's, get her done and get out of there versus, you know, make it serviceable for the next guy.
Way back when I started in the industry, I was in installation for about 2 months just to learn the ways of the world, I guess you could say. And I was always taught, install it as if you are going to be the one to service it. And so I made sure everything was dressed nice, and, either with tie wraps or whatever we used to keep the bundles looking pretty. Way it's ease of access, but now it's just take the wires, connect it, throw it in the can, and then close it up and turn the key. And you open it up and it's like one of those pinatas and just everywhere.
Yeah, don't screw over the next guy, because the next guy might be you. Idiot.
Exactly. When you pull it through the ceiling, you pull it down on the pipe or the conduit or whatever you're running the cable into the can with, the service loop stays up in the ceiling if it's accessible by a 6 or 8 footer, and you bring it into the can, dress it, make it look nice. If you can't do it up in the ceiling, then you leave at least 6 inches extra, 6 to 8 inches, for a service loop. What, if you are a good technician and a good service person, you wouldn't need to cut those wires for a service loop. But you should be able to pull them off and leave them there and put them back on. Well, you really don't need extra wire.
And in a house where the guy used a special stripper for Romex and cut all the wires in the, it was like meant for 12-2 or 14-2, and he used 14-3 on it, and it cut all the wires, and there was no extra to get back, and had a Sparky come in, and they had to pull the staples off and like fish enough wire in there that he could get like a wire nut right at the entrance of the box and add like 6 inches to the wires, get the smoke detectors working again.
Yeah, I've seen that too. At my son's house, as a matter of fact, in the garage, the electricity in there, I mean, it's older stuff, but it was all twisted around in the breaker panel in his house. I swear it was the original, or it was changed in the 80s, because it was only a 60 amp, so had to have the electricians come in, they had to shut off his power for like 3 days, put in a new meter, put in a new feed into the house, a new feed from the pole into the house, and they put in 100 amp, and then they put in another 60 amp, I think, in the garage. Or it's 100 amp with just 4 breakers on it. But he had to redo all that. His Romex is, I think, 15. It's white. Where my entire house was completely gutted and all new electrical, so I got all 20 amp circuits going through the house.
Well, they got new colors now. They got the white and yellow are for the 14-2 and the 12-2, and now they've got they're like purple and orange and red and all sorts of different colors now for you get There's some electrical work that needs to be done at my place. They got it. I think it was quite a bit of a homeowner stuff so for a while. Almost had a fire a few weeks ago when the dishwasher was running. He had just cut it off and wire nutted it and put some electrical tape on, and that got hot and started melting stuff.
My dishwasher is attached to a power cord and plugged in underneath the sink. That ain't for running a circuit to the dishwasher, so hooked up a power cord underneath and wired it in, drilled a hole in the side, plugged it into where the garbage disposal outlet would be.
Yeah, that's what I've got too. They bought a 5-foot cord and needed a 6-foot cord, and they have their extra foot on with wire nuts and electrical tape, and didn't go very well. So when it started to degrade.
And I check mine every so often. And the wire nuts and the splice connection is inside the box that's underneath the dishwasher. And then I got a Phoenix box connector on it, so it keeps cable tight. And I think it's like a 6-foot cord, but it's enough to get to the outlet. And I think it's rated for 20 amps, so I'm good there.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's quite a few things that need to be fixed. They got a couple wire nutted connections in the crawl space that I just don't want to feel like dealing with. I gotta get going here, 7-3, can't do that.
Thank you.
WCMN repeater. PH repeater, as they call it.
Yeah, ABHPR. I'm back monitoring myself here a little bit. How's it sound?
I have to go back to my little fuzzy there. Try it here.
Yeah, test 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. Talking in a normal voice here. Does it sound like full audio?
No, you're missing something. You're going to have to check it. It sounds like it's turned down. Maybe you have to reboot it or something, but sounds like it still sounds like half volume.
Well, there is a setting for maximum deviation. I'll have to go into that mode and give it a play around with that.
Okay. Yeah, digital, if that's what you've been talking on, that sounds absolutely perfect. This one here is missing something, so maybe the volume's low. I'm not sure. So, but you've got your stuff. You can go look at it, I'm sure.
Yep, that's my next step. Thanks. AB8PR.
Cool. How much money you got in this radio, can I ask?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
I was just curious how much money you had in this radio.
With all the accessories and stuff, you know, I got a remote head and a cable and programming cable, and probably $550.
Any bag, and then you'll have it set up the way you want it, and you'll have the remote head. So that's about what I'm going to end up having in one, because I had to order a cable, I had to order a separate plate, and I got to order the bracket, all the other stuff. I'm going to put it up real nice in my my personal truck, my work car. I just got something scrambled together, and it hangs by two eye hooks. So, all right, good luck. Have fun. We'll talk later. WAPD.
All right, maybe it's here.
Yeah,
This time of day, that means an hour.
Well, I'm trying to get to Van Dyke Freeway, and I'm going to slip down to 26, and then 26 eastbound right to county line.
Okay. Keep in touch. I got things all ready for you to let the factory smoke out.
On the seat is apple pie.
W-A-D-D. Standing by.
KJO driving forward.
KE8ZMQ monitoring.
Why are you that bored?